Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
The Supreme Court is back on the bench this week for a new term, and retired federal judge Nancy Gertner has strong words of caution for the justices as the court considers cases regarding some of the most contentious issues in the country: abortion, gun rights, affirmative action. Gertner is raising concerns about the role of precedent in court rulings and in the court's legitimacy. Nancy Gertner is a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and a WBUR legal analyst. Judge Gertner, welcome back to the show.
Good to be on again.
So I think it's fair to say that legal observers like you are expecting some pretty major decisions this term. You are out with an op-ed in the Boston Globe today warning that the court's new conservative majority is taking a pretty different approach to legal precedent. Tell us about that.
Well, what I wrote was it's not just Roe v. Wade. That's what everyone is focusing on. It's also not just the hot button issues that everyone hears about. This is a court that has been reversing precedent for the entire period of time when the court became 5-4 conservative. Now that it's 6-3 conservative, the cases that they're taking on the docket, it signify a real intent to move the court and the law rightward in numbers of areas. I mean, Tom Goldstein, who is a publisher of the SCOTUS blog, which describes the Supreme Court's decision, says, every 3 years we say we're going to see a radical conservative takeover of the Supreme Court. This year, we mean it.
So what is wrong with overturning precedent? I mean, you've talked before, for example, about it was important to overturn the Dred Scott decision. So shouldn't we be learning over time?
We've heard over and over again that elections have consequences. That's true. Elections have consequences. But courts don't reflect the vagaries of elections directly. And part of that is so that the court legal decisions are supposed to evolve more slowly, so that people can determine what they're trying to do in their lives in anticipation of settled law. It's an illusion to say that, well, you know, the conservatives are doing what the liberals did. First of all, there's not really liberals on the Supreme Court, I hasten to say. Ginsburg was described by Linda Greenhouse as a judicial restraint liberal. In other words, she believed in certain things, but she also believed in precedent, which tempered what she did on the bench. Now you have at least five justices who seem not to believe in precedent and are therefore not tempering their judicial philosophies with what the evolving law has been.
So is it a whiplash and a speed of change thing, Judge Gertner?
It is a speed of change and also the content of change. So yes, it's the speed of change, and it's really not just abortion, gun rights, and religion, although that is what's going to lead this term. It's been on property rights and voting rights and regulation issues. It's really an entire judicial philosophy that touches numbers of areas in which, frankly, the Federalist Society has largely weighed in on these areas, and there are at least four justices, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, who believe in that.
So I could imagine somebody pushing back and saying, conservatives for years have criticized the court for legislating from the bench, for judicial overreach, and this is a course correction that comes with those elections that have consequences. What about pushback?
There were always criticisms of particular decisions, but there were also decisions that really reflected a broad national legal consensus about the role of regulation, the role of the federal government, civil procedure, a host of things. And that's what's going on here. It's also an illusion. It really has to be said to say that the liberals have been, you know, doing this all along. Ginsburg was a moderate. Justice Breyer is certainly a pragmatic moderate. Kagan is a moderate. But these new appointees are definitively judicial conservatives. And so what happens when you have moderates on the one hand and conservatives on the other is that the court slowly moves to the right because the pragmatists are constantly accommodating to the conservatives. And so, yes, the law has been moving very slowly to the right over the past, I would say, 10 years. this is going to be a dramatic and troubling shift in really numbers of areas.
So a number of court watchers have made remark in the last couple of months, Judge Gertner, about public comments by a number of justices, and they really range from Amy Coney Barrett all the way to Stephen Breyer, taking a defensive stance that this is not a partisan court. My sense in listening to you and in reading you is you're concerned that it is a partisan court. So let me ask you to comment on that. And what does that mean for our American justice system and our democracy if we have a partisan court?
Well, let me say, I mean, I have no illusions that courts are always partisan, which is, you know, you put someone on the bench who's in their late 40s or early 50s, and they obviously have opinions and experience of the world. And you're obviously affected by that. But it's what you experienced before is tempered by the mores of the job, by precedent, by a sense that the law should evolve slowly, that there should not be dramatic shifts. And what's different now is that we have a court that believes in dramatic shifts, that believes it has a right not just to persuade, you know, not just to try to come to a 9-0 consensus, but to do what they want to do because they can. That's what's troubling.
So let's use the Roe v. Wade question as an example to play this out, Judge Gertner. So the Mississippi law that bars most abortions after 15 weeks, court's set to hear it. You argue the court wouldn't take the case unless they intend to undermine Roe v. Wade. What would be the major precedental shift here that you're concerned of from this court, and what would be the implications?
Well, I think it's a combination of both the Texas case and the Texas case that where they came up to the court on an emergency basis, the 6-week case. It's hard to know. I mean, they could cut back on when abortion cannot be prohibited, so that it's only the first trimester, and allow all sorts of regulations thereafter. The Mississippi case is really raising that. It's not allowing abortions past the second trimester. Abortions were allowed through the second trimester, albeit there could be some regulations. So they could cut back the point at which abortions are freely available. It's the Mississippi case that wipes out Roe v. Wade entirely. And the court's willingness to let that case stand on an emergency basis really signals where they're going here. And that's very troubling.
I'm sorry, the Mississippi case that the court allowed to stand on an emergency basis, or the Texas case?
I meant the Texas case. Yeah, when Justice Alito allowed the Texas law to go into effect, when it was clearly unconstitutional, when there was, and it's clear that people will suffer, really signaled where this court is going. So, Mississippi will, the Mississippi case that they've taken could cut back on abortion. The Texas case eliminates it.
So, Judge Gertner, you know, you've said it's more than some of these big hot button issues like abortion and guns and religion, which is there's a flag case from the city of Boston where the city of Boston refused to fly a flag that had a Christian group that had a Christian symbol on it. But those are big hot button issues. And you are talking about a court that you think is going to see these cases because they intend to do something. And you're talking about sweeping changes to precedent. I worry, is this a truly destabilizing moment?
I think it is. Those cases are troubling enough, but the cases that I cited in my op-ed were cases dealing with union organization, with dealing with property rights, dealing with delegation issues, when it's appropriate to delegate to agencies. This is a philosophy that is conservative, so conservative that some believe it's taking us back to pre-New Deal. Anti-government, anti-regulation, pro-property rights, anti-discrimination law. That's an overstatement, but that's the direction in which things are heading. And just because you can move the court doesn't mean you should.
All right, Judge Gertner, we're going to have to end it there. I do want to note that they'll be looking at reinstating the death penalty for convicted Boston Marathon bomber Johar Tsarnaev, and we'll hope to talk to you about that too. Retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, and we will have a link to Judge Gertner's Boston Globe op-ed at our website at radioboston.org.